How to recognize and remember the seven caution offenses. The seven cautionable offenses. A player is cautioned and shown the yellow card if he commits any of the following seven offenses. Is guilty of unsporting behavior. Shows dissent by word or action. Persistently infringes the laws of the game. Delays the restart of play. Fails to respect the required distance when play is restarted with a corner kick or free kick. Enters or re-enters the field of play without the referee's permission. Deliberately leaves the field of play without the referee's permission. Mnemonic. Unsporting leaves persistently delays distant dissenters entering. Another mnemonic follows, puddled. Persistently infringes the laws of the game. Unsporting behavior. Delays the restart of play. Dissent by word or action. Leaves deliberately the field of play without the referee's permission. Enters or re-enters the field of play without the referee's permission. Distance fails to respect when play is restarted with a corner kick or a free kick. The phrase "a player is cautioned" means that the referee must discipline any player guilty of the above seven offenses. But man management by the referee beforehand may prevent a caution becoming necessary. For example, following a challenge for the ball, a player becomes frustrated and starts running after the opponent, who has fairly won the ball. A good referee will sense that the player has momentarily lost his composure, and there is a strong possibility that he will attempt to foul his opponent using undue strength. The referee can prevent this by shouting to the player to calm down. This lets the player know that the referee is close by and watching his actions. It also distracts the player, bringing him back to his senses. This works to good effect, and most players will respond. 1. Is guilty of unsporting behavior. Unsporting behavior covers just about everything else not mentioned in the other six cautionable offenses. It covers all types of minor villainy, cheating, hard tackles, holding, diving, etc. This does not necessarily mean that the referee needs to caution every offense committed in a game of football. The referee needs to apply plenty of common sense in deciding the severity of each offense. Football is a contact sport. The act of battling for the ball is an inherent part of the game. A hard two-footed tackle against an opponent would normally produce as a caution, whereas a well-timed tackle on an opponent would not. The referee must not be too lenient with players. Do not rely solely on having a quiet word with guilty players. Experienced referees instinctually know when to administer a caution. A referee who relies solely on his cards to control his game will not progress very far. Nonetheless, applying cards at the right time can help you to control the game. The referee should also not allow a player to change the referee's mind when a caution has been administered. But I went for the ball, ref. Now where have I heard that one before? Unsporting behavior can include the following examples. A. Kicking the ball away after a decision has been given against a player's team. B. Goalkeeper deliberately lies too long on the ball. C. Shouting "leave it" to purposefully cheat an opponent into letting the ball reach you, the player. D. Committing an offense which prevents an attacking or defending move. E. Deliberately handling the ball to prevent a goal, but fails to do so. F. Using a deliberate trick to circumvent a law. G. Making a bad tackle on an opponent. H. Simulating actions such as purposefully diving in an attempt to be awarded a penalty. I. Fake an injury or exaggerates the seriousness of an injury. J. Deliberate handball. K. Interfere with or prevents the goalkeeper from releasing the ball from his hands into play. L. Unfairly distracts or impedes an opponent performing a throw-in. M. Verbally distracts an opponent during play or at a restart. N. Unfair deception whilst taking a penalty kick. O. Climbing on the back of an opponent or colleague to gain height when jumping for a ball. P. Dancing about or gesticulating in a way calculated to distract an opponent who is restarting play. Holding and pulling. The International FA Board has expressed its concern at the amount of holding and pulling which was prevalent in football today. It recognized that not every instance of holding and pulling of jerseys and shorts was unsporting behavior, as is also the case with deliberate handball. It expressed regret, however, that referees were not applying the laws fully in dealing with blatant cases of holding and pulling, and issued the following mandatory instruction for season 2001/2002. Referees are instructed that, in the case of blatant holding and pulling, the offense must be sanctioned by a direct free kick or penalty kick if the offense is committed inside the penalty area, and the player must be cautioned for unsporting behavior. 2. Shows dissent by word or action. Dissent must be deliberately done towards the referee, assistant referee, or other players, or the crowd. The referee must allow for a degree of player's frustration in what can be a very taxing game. Dissent is where a player challenges the referee's authority. This also invites other players to follow suit. This type of bad example can spoil a game. It is important to stamp out dissent very early in each game. Use your man management skills to firstly warn any dissenting players, but do not fail to caution any loud outward dissent towards you, else you will find the game very difficult to control. Dissent may be verbal or by action, such as a gesticulation of the arms towards you. Beware of cautioning a player who has reacted out of frustration, for example, after he has missed an open goal. Allow some leeway for actions of this nature. Football/soccer is a very emotive game, played at high tension and with much passion, so do not be over-officious if you can help it. Dissent is committed by words, actions, including gestures, or a combination of the two. The referee should evaluate dissent in terms of content, what exactly is said or done, loudness, the extent to which the dissent can be seen or heard widely, and whether it is clearly directed at an official, including assistant referees and fourth officials. The objective in dealing with dissent is to support the spirit of the game, to maintain the authority of the officials, and to reduce the likelihood of such behavior becoming widespread. A goalkeeper who leaves the penalty area, not beckoned by the referee, to engage the referee, or an assistant referee in debate regarding a decision, has clearly committed dissent. To allow players to continue showing dissent is one of the quickest ways for the referee to lose control of a game. It must be stamped out at the onset. A referee who manages to keep the game relatively free from dissent is more than halfway towards gaining full control of the game, which will then be enjoyed by all those participating. Deal with cases of dissent firmly from the beginning of the game, otherwise the situation will deteriorate, and you will then need to resort to cautioning, or sending off players for offenses, which probably would not have occurred had you been more committed in dealing with early dissent. Following the scoring of a goal, the referee should make his way quickly to the center circle. Only then should the referee make a note of the score in his notebook. Moving quickly to the center circle often prevents players running up to the referee and complaining immediately after a goal has been scored against their team. Staying in the penalty area after a goal has just been scored may invite players to approach you to comment. This will be avoided if you move away quickly. Do not give them the opportunity to moan. The fact that you have moved towards the center circle will also demonstrate to players that you have allowed the goal to stand and that you will not be changing your mind. Players can behave very foolishly in the heat of the moment, but they invariably calm down very quickly. If a player decides to run 60 yards after you to complain and into the center circle, then I would suggest that you have a very good case for a caution. Sometimes when a player complains, it's not because he is dissenting, it's because he doesn't understand what he or his teammate has done, so it's important to tell players exactly what they did. A quote from Pierluigi Collina, FIFA referee. 3. Persistently infringes the laws of the game. Football/soccer is a physical contact sport where the referee, against the perpetrator, can classify most offenses committed on the field of play as minor offenses that do not require any formal penalizing action. A minor offense can best be described as a single offense that does not warrant a caution. Before a player reaches the final minor, persistent infringement offense that warrants a caution, the referee should have a quiet word with the player, warning him that the next minor offense committed by him may result in a caution for him. Referees are not advised to tell the player that the next offense will result in a caution, because this will leave the referee with no option but to stand by his word. A player who continually infringes the laws of the game by committing several minor offenses during the same match may be cautioned and shown the yellow card. It is not necessary for the multiple minor offenses to be of the same type or all to be penal fouls. This type of caution was introduced into the laws to allow the referee to have a greater flexible control over the game. It should be administered wisely and allows the referee some leeway in dealing with minor offenses. A player who continually offends is inviting retaliation from the opposition and will increase the tension of the match. There is no set quantity of offenses required before disciplining a player for persistent infringement. As a rule of thumb, most referees allow 3 or 4 fouls at the most before disciplining a player for a culmination of minor offenses. However, there is nothing preventing the referee cautioning a player for persistent infringement for a second minor offense committed by the same player, although this would be most unusual. Referees will normally only caution a player for persistent infringement after that player has committed several minor offenses. Nevertheless, you must caution the player on the first foul if that foul alone warrants a caution in its own right. When cautioning a player for persistent infringement, it does help if you explain to that player why you are cautioning him. Advise the player in a calm but firm manner by pointing to the other areas of the field where he has previously committed minor offenses. This clarifies your explanation to him. It also demonstrates to other players watching that you're disciplining this player for persistent infringement. You do not really have to remember exactly where the previous offenses took part. If you cannot remember, just point north, south, east and west. The player will certainly not have a clue whether you are right or wrong, and to the other players watching, it looks as though you certainly know what you're doing, even if you don't. Persistent infringement may be the result of a player who feels that he has received no protection from the referee and has decided to take the law into his own hands. The referee should first warn the player that the pattern of offenses has been observed and that if it continues, will eventually lead to a caution. In cases where the referee is aware of a pattern of fouls directed against a single opponent, usually the most skillful opponent, it is proper to warn the guilty team or individual player that the pattern has been seen and then to caution the next player who continues the pattern, even if this specific player may not have previously committed a foul against this single targeted opponent. The referee can easily begin to lose control of the game if a player or team keeps fouling the very same opponent who then decides to retaliate himself because he feels that the referee is not dealing with the situation. 4. Delays the restart of play. This includes when a player purposefully stands over the ball to prevent the opposition taking a quick free kick. You can see numerous examples of this in top-level games on televised football matches each week. Players will seek to gain time for their defending colleagues by standing in front of the stationary ball or walking in front of the ball when opponents are attempting to take a free kick. Referees must deal swiftly with this type of behavior, else defending players will take every opportunity to unfairly waste or gain time for their team. Players guilty of this deliberate action should be cautioned. If you are not 100% convinced that players have deliberately sought to delay free kicks, for example, they may need to pass close to the ball in making their way from the area of the free kick, have a strong word with them and ask them to move away quickly. In other words, let all the players know that you will not tolerate gamesmanship-type delay and tactics during restarts. One typical example of delay in the restarts of play can be seen weekly in Italian football. Players deliberately converge towards the area of a free kick, especially if it is near their penalty area. Players from both sides suddenly surround the referee. It seems to take an age for free kicks near the penalty area to actually take place. Of course, the defending players do it all on purpose. It gains time for their goalkeeper and defenders to regroup and position themselves to their advantage. Try and stand down on this type of action. A caution or two will soon let players know you mean business. Some examples of delay in the restart of play are shown below. Kicks or throws the ball away, or holding the ball to prevent or delay a free kick, throw-in, or corner kick restart being taken by an opponent. Failing to restart play quickly after being instructed to do so by the referee. Excessively prolonging celebration of a goal. Delays in taking a goal kick, throw-in or kickoff. Stands in front of ballness delaying an opponent from restarting the game with a free kick. Ties up bootlaces in front of ball. Goalkeepers repositioning the ball when setting up a goal kick. Giving undue directions to colleagues before taking a free kick. The ball having been placed in position for a free kick is sometimes kicked away by a defender to allow the defending team's players to take up defensive positions. Sometimes players may refuse to retire the correct distance at the taking of a free kick or corner kick. The referee is advised to seek the cooperation of the players in the first instance and ask them to move back. But if this approach fails, then the offenders should be cautioned. Delaying tactics are normally done when the guilty team is seeking to unfairly waste time when they are winning. Some players make a habit of claiming a throw-in, getting hold of the ball as if to take the throw-in, and then walking away with it, and then tossing the ball back to a colleague to take the throw instead. Thus unfairly is wasting a few seconds of time. Referees must try to prevent this type of delay and tactic. Acts of this kind are unsporting and are against the spirit of the game. The perpetrators should be cautioned or severely warned. It is not essential for a referee to administer a caution for every single delay in a game. Referees need to distinguish between those blatant delaying actions for which the laws of the game mandate a caution, and the remaining minor trifling delaying actions, for which the referee may use his discretion when penalizing a player, or not. The referee can't prevent taking disciplinary action by encouraging players to get a move on when delay and tactics are anticipated. One prime example of delay and tactics is when the winning team's goalkeeper purposefully takes his time in retrieving and setting up the ball prior to taking a goal kick. Most referees will be near the halfway line prior to a goal kick taking place, but a gesture by the referee of holding his arm out and pointing to his watch is a clear signal to the goalkeeper to hurry up. If a goalkeeper continues to ignore the hastening advice of the referee and repeats the delaying tactic, then the referee should caution him. It is important to differentiate between time-wasting and time-consuming. Time-consuming is not an offense. For example, players may pass the ball between themselves and waste time for as long as they like. No offense against the laws has been committed. So long as the ball stays in play, the opponents have a chance of challenging for possession. 5. Fails to respect the required distance when play is restarted with a corner kick or a free kick. Examples: does not retire at least 10 yards, 9.15 meters, away from an opponent's free kick. Does not retire at least 10 yards, 9.15 meters, away from an opponent's corner kick. A player who runs out of a defensive wall before the ball is in play during a free kick. The only limitation imposed on the position of players of the defending team during free kicks is that they shall be at least 10 yards, 9.15 meters, away from the ball, unless they are on the goal line, between their own goalposts. The best way to deal with this infringement is to be strong with your instructions to players when you ask them to retreat the required distance. Tell them to move back and not to encroach. Use your voice and hand signals to warn players. Taking this approach will minimize any incidents occurring before the free kick takes place, or if they do occur, will justify you handing out a caution or two, because at least you had warned the players beforehand, so they have no excuse if they ignore your advice. The assistant referee is also empowered to move players the correct distance from free kicks near his area of the field of play and during the taking of nearby corner kicks. Corner kicks: it can sometimes be difficult for a referee to judge the correct distance that opponents are standing during the taking of a corner kick, especially if the corner kick is on the far side of the field of play to the referee. It is more important for the referee to be near the goal area during the taking of the corner kick than to overly monitor the opponent's distance requirement. This is even more important when club assistant referees are being used. The referee will need to make his judgment from some distance away. Use the whistle and hand signals to move players back, rather than approach the corner area to give verbal instruction. Free kicks: defending players will always try and gain time for their team to organize their defense. One popular tactic is to purposefully position themselves within 10 yards, 9.15 meters, of a free kick being taken by the opposing team. Defenders are very often successful in using this gamesmanship play. Referees must deal strongly with these types of incidents. The modern game will almost inevitably contain several incidents of this nature. Referees are encouraged to instruct encroaching or wrongly positioned players to move to the correct position immediately. There are many ways in which the referee can do this. Use the whistle and hand signals and strong verbal instructions to move players back immediately before the free kick takes place. Players who fail to respect the required distance, 10 yards / 9.15 meters, away from the free kick should be cautioned. During the taking of ceremonial type free kicks, if the proper distance is not observed, the referee will need to shepherd the defensive wall backwards. If a defensive wall fails to retire the correct distance, 10 yards/9.15 meters, away from the free kick, the referee can caution all of the defending players within the wall. But in reality, the referee will usually only caution the defending player who is nearest to the ball. Once he has indicated the approximate area of the restart, the referee should try to move quickly out of the way. The referee would not normally interfere with the kicking team's right to take a quick free kick. The aim is to get the ball back into play as soon as possible, unless the team taking the free kick asks for help in dealing with encroaching opponents. The referee has discretion to disregard the 10 yards/9.15 meters requirement to allow a free kick to be taken quickly. If the attacking team takes a quick free kick, irrespective of whether the defending team is within 10 yards/9.15 meters or not, then play must be allowed to continue. If the move does not materialize, and the attacking team then complains that the defenders were not 10 yards/9.15 meters away, it would be grossly unfair under such circumstances to allow the attacking team to have two chances at the free kick just because their quick free kick did not prove fruitful. If the attacking team wants to take a quick free kick, then they cannot expect the referee to provide them with the 10 yards/9.15 meters distance. If the result of the quick free kick is a goal, then this should be allowed to stand, so long as no other infringements to the laws have occurred. 6. Enters or re-enters the field of play without the referee's permission. Once the game has started, a player should not enter or re-enter the field of play unless he has received a clear signal to do so from the referee. The referee is the only person who can allow players to leave or enter or re-enter the field of play. Players entering the field of play after the game has commenced must wait on the touchline until the referee has signaled that they can enter. Law amendment: an injured player returning into the field of play can enter from any boundary if the ball is out of play and on the referee's signal. If the ball is still in play, the returning player can only enter from a touchline and on the referee's signal. Players entering the field of play should not be allowed to enter if entry gains them an unfair advantage whilst play is continuing. In other words, try and ensure that an oncoming player does not come onto the field of play in a position that gives that player's team an advantage, as this will anger the opponents and is unfair. This may require waiting a moment or two for play to move elsewhere before allowing the player to enter later on receiving your signal. Referees should allow players to return to the field of play when signaled to do so by the referee, as soon as possible after they have received treatment off the field and have recovered from their injury. Referee must be satisfied that any bleeding has stopped before allowing an injured bleeding player to come back onto the field of play. If a player comes onto the field of play without the referee's permission, he must be cautioned, preferably when the ball is next out of play. But you are within your rights to stop the game immediately, caution the player, and restart the game with an indirect free kick at the place where the ball was when you stopped play. If the ball was out of play, then you restart according to circumstances, e.g. goal kick, throw-in, etc. Players who leave the field with the referee's permission require the referee's permission to return back into the field. Some examples are shown below. After being instructed to leave the field to correct his equipment, a player attempts to come back onto the field without having received the referee's permission. After leaving to receive treatment off the field for an injury, a player attempts to come back onto the field without having received the referee's permission. After leaving to receive treatment for bleeding, a player attempts to come back onto the field without having received the referee's permission. A substitute enters the field of play without having received permission from the referee. A player leaves the field of play to take a drink without the referee's permission. When a player requests permission to enter the field of play, the referee does not need to wait for a natural stoppage in the game, except in the case of a player told to rectify or remove a dangerous item of equipment. In this case, the player can only re-enter the field during a natural stoppage in the game. 7. Deliberately leaves the field of play without the referee's permission. Deliberately leaving the field of play is when a player leaves the field to take a drink, or to change his footwear, or for any other reason, without having first received the referee's permission. This does not include those accidental or tactical instances when a player runs off the field during a maneuver in play, or when a player needs to step off the field to take a corner kick, goal kick, or a throw-in, etc. These are all accepted parts of the game action. Players should only be cautioned if they deliberately leave a game by moving off the field of play without the referee's permission. There may be occasions when an injured player may cross one of the boundary lines to seek treatment without the referee knowing. Referees should use their common sense in deciding whether to caution a player or not under such circumstances. A strong talking to or a quiet word when they come back into the field of play sometimes suffices. Ask them to let you know the next time that they decide to leave the field of play. Invariably, players do not purposefully leave the field of play to deceive the referee or the opposing team. It is usually done for an innocent, genuine reason. It can also very often happen that an injured player's colleagues will notify the referee of an injured player exiting the field of play. This is acceptable so long as the referee is aware, and he can then signal his permission for the injured player to leave. If play is stopped to administer a caution, the restart is an indirect free kick to the opposing team, to be taken from where the offense occurred, where the player left the field of play. If the referee notices that a player has left the field of play and he decides to caution that player, the referee has three options. A. Do not allow the player back on the field until the ball has gone out of play, then caution the player before allowing him back onto the field of play. B. Let the player back onto the field of play whilst play is still in motion, stop play immediately to caution the player, and restart with an indirect free kick awarded to the opponents at the place where the oncoming player was when you stopped play to administer the caution. C. Let the player back onto the field of play whilst play is still in motion, wait until the ball is next out of play, before you caution the player. If an injured player is able to walk off the field of play, he should be encouraged to do so, especially if he is close to one of the boundary lines. When returning to the field of play, an injured player can enter the field from any point on the boundary lines if the ball is out of play. If the ball is in play, the player may only re-enter the field of play from the touchline. In each case, the player must await the referee's signal. Some examples of players leaving the field of play without receiving the referee's permission are shown below. Leaving the field of play to get a drink from the technical area. Leaving the field of play to receive treatment for an injury. Leaving the field of play to be replaced by a substitute. Leaving the field of play to change footwear. Leaving the field of play purposefully in an attempt to place an attacker in an offside position.